This is the John Clayton Show
on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get in on the conversation at 866-979-ESPN. Now here's your host,
the professor,
John Clayton.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Sean Salisbury joining us at the bottom of the hour. Jeff in Federal Way. Jeff, thank you for being so patient.
Oh, awesome. Happy Saturday, Mr. Clayton.
Happy Saturday to you.
So my question to you is, I'll get to the questions first, but I wanted to just first say thank you for getting me through the football season with your knowledge and everything that you know about. And I'm not even going to go with the RW talk.
It's stupid
and silly. My next question or my next thing to you is I can't wait for you and Sean Salisbury to talk.
Yeah.
I remember you guys back a few years back on Saturdays, and everybody used to say, oh, those guys hate each other. It's like, no, these guys are very heated and passionate about the game of football. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then thirdly, Adrian Peterson. I'm going to throw a different question out there. He was talking a few weeks ago about maybe being a running back coach.
Right.
Is there any talk about that?
He talked about it, and we'll see if he's willing to follow through on it. But, I mean, you can see how much he did help Rashad Penny.
He was dramatic
in changing Rashad Penny's career around. So
I wonder how he would do with Chris Carson, too.
Yeah, I don't know, because, again, it's like Chris Carson knows what he's doing. It's just a matter that Chris Carson has the bad neck.
Yeah. I'm still afraid that he might not be able to play.
Might not, no. I mean, I think he will, but, again, he might not.
I'm sad about that.
Yeah. No, I think you should be.
And I also agree with you as far as the caller, 10, 15 minutes ago, it's like, you don't need a franchise quarterback, you need a manager. I think with the exception of Trent Dilfer at Tampa Bay, he wasn't even a manager. The defense won that Super Bowl. Or no, that was at Baltimore. I'm sorry.
In Baltimore, yeah.
Yeah. And so you need a franchise quarterback, and the franchise quarterback, in my opinion, is supposed to elevate the lesser players, and that's why you pay the franchise quarterback that money, a.k.a. Aaron Rodgers. Look what he does with his receivers.
Right.
And he makes nobody somebody with their name, and that's what a franchise quarterback does, and that's why you pay him the money. And I agreement with you. I don't think this game is going to be close. I think 49ers-Packer game will be close till halftime.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jimmy G is going to be thinking about going to the beach and hanging out. It's like, this is too cold for me.
Yeah, so. Yeah. could be, yeah, because, again, it's like it is going to be cold, and that doesn't favor Jimmy G. And even in the warmer weather, Jimmy G didn't play all that well.
Yeah. I think the first game coming up today Cincy and Tennessee, that's when I'm tuning into.
I mean, they're all going to be good except for maybe San Fran and Green Bay.
That's what I think. Tampa Bay offensive line is hurting. LA Rams defensive line, Aaron Donald and all those boys.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
You don't want to go into a game where your starting center who's going to play, you know, Ryan Jensen, has a bad ankle and is not going to be anywhere close to being 100% going against Aaron Donald. That's not good.
Even if you are 100%, you don't want to go against Aaron Donald.
No, you don't. Agreed.
So, some good football coming up. It's nice to be a fan. And, I'm not stressing about the Seahawks. If you're going to, play good today or not, they're out of it. But to be a football fan now is awesome. And I would just tell all the 12s, enjoy football and quit talking about that person.
Yeah, agreed.
Thank you. You have a good day.
All right, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Victor in Auburn. Hey, Victor.
Hey, John. Another great show.
Oh, thank you.
So after the Broncos trade for Wilson.
No,
I'm just playing, John. Just playing. I do believe they're going to sign Quinn as a head coach for the Broncos.
Yeah, don't you think it's going to be like Monday or Tuesday?
Yeah, I believe that one of the guys on the other thing was talking about Monday. Monday would be a good day to have it come through. Who do you think he's going to try to target for an offensive coordinator? Or does
I have that, no
that
idea.
Going to be
Have no idea.
Is that Peyton's call or is that his call?
His call.
Oh, okay. It'll be okay. And then also, I heard Denver will be looking for a linebacker at the top of the draft.
I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah, because the Jewel in Nelson or not Nelson AJ whatever I can't remember in Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the
inside
the
linebackers.
Speed and the
hitch.
Yeah, exactly. To move that. What type of defense does Quinn like to run, even though he's a coach?
He's more of a 4-3 guy.
Okay, good. Good, good. Yeah, and then also I heard the owners, or, you know, there are about 4 or 5 different people trying to put in to buy the Broncos. I heard Elway might be trying to jump in with one of the groups. Do you have
Well, no, it's here. The interesting thing is, I mean, Jeff Bezos, I think, is obviously the favorite. He's got the most money. Then you have the Peyton Manning group. Then you have the John Elway group. Then you have the Brittany
Bowen.
Brittany Bowen, you know, the daughter.
Yeah.
She's in a group. I don't know who the other one is. But
it's the one local guy from Colorado. He's he supposedly could be the first black owner. Smith, I think his last name is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I heard that's where Elway might try to jump in with his group, because they're even saying, with the Mannings combined, Peyton and Eli, I mean, they're still way short of $500 million.
Right,
Yeah, so they're going to need some other people.
Yeah, but again, it's like, it's going to be fascinating. Now, if Bezos gets it, what's your thoughts?
I thought I've heard that he wasn't interested in owning a team.
No, I think he is.
Okay, well, no, I guess that'd be great, because I can't see him sparing any expense.
No.
Do you think they'd have a issue with if him trying to move the team, or?
What do you mean move the team? They're not.
I don't know. Do you know? I mean, like they moved the Chargers,
they move?
Or.
They what?
You know how they moved San Diego to L.A.?
No,
or,
come on.
No, I don't want it to happen. I just didn't know.
It won't happen. Again, it's too good of a base in Denver. They're not moving out of Denver.
Oh, good. Well, no, I just don't want anything like that to happen. Do you think the other owners would have a problem? Because I know all the other owners are billionaires.
Yeah, yeah.
But Bezos has enough money to buy probably each team if he wanted to. I mean,
right.
So
why would they have a problem
that
with that? I mean, you know, he's already making him money with Amazon on the Thursday night games.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like he's already bringing profit into the league. And so it's like he can own the team and still bring in the profit.
Yeah, that'd be nice. that'd be real nice to see it happen. And then probably do another stadium or something like that. That'd be great, John. Hey, you sound better, John. And thanks through all the football seasons. You supply Saturday every day, man. Every Saturday is awesome listening to you.
Yeah, and let's see if they get something done with Dan Quinn on Monday, because, again, they complete their job interviews for the 10 candidates by tomorrow night, and that opens them up to be a team ready to make a move as early as Monday, and I think that they will.
One other question. If Gordon signed with another team, did Denver get a commissary pick with that?
If what?
If Gordon... Melvin Gordon
no.
signed with another team, they don't get a comp pick? What's it called, a compensatory pick?
I mean, you know, if they lose more free agents than they gain, yeah, I guess so. But
okay.
But again, it's like the best he's going to be able to do is $5 or $6 million.
Yeah, and then that's what determines how much pick they would get is by how much the money the other person gets paid?
Yeah, and how much and how many players they gain and how many they lose.
Okay, good, good. All right, John, take care, bud. Have a good weekend.
All right, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Dre. Dre, how are you?
I'm doing good, John. Always a pleasure. Yeah, and last time I talked to you last week, you know, I hit on the Russell Wilson in the third downs and all the three and outs, but this time I want to hit on Rashad Penny as well, because I think that you're talking about the Seahawks may offer him 5.2 like they did Melvin Gordon with the Broncos. But I think, like my buddy said, Rashad Penny has all the leverage now. I think he has a lot of leverage to where I think it's going to be more like 7. I think it's going to be teamed up.
No.
Listen to me, because they're going to be – Seahawks may offer him money with incentives leading to da-da-da-da-da, but there's going to be a team out there. There's going to be one particular team, John. I know it's going to be out there that's going to say, They're offering you this. Which incentive we're offering you this right now?
Incorrect.
Incorrect?
And here's the reason. 2 years ago, okay. Melvin Gordon was the highest paid, because again, they don't pay running backs. And so in unrestricted free agency, you know, Melvin Gordon 2 years ago got 2 years, $16 million, $8 million a year. Last year, Drake, who comes over as a backup to the Raiders from Arizona, he got 5.5. And you look at the free agent list of unrestricted free agents, there's only six or seven guys that are unrestricted, including Rashad Penny. And if you look at all their numbers, I mean, two of them were with Arizona, they're all in the fives or the fours.
Yeah, but I still say it's going to be a little bit different.
No.
What?
No! Dre, the answer is no.
I'm not gonna be like all these other callers that be going nuts out here. Believe me, John. But I also want to hit on Mr. Carlos Dunlap, because that game against Arizona, I don't think he started in that game. All of a sudden, we saw him like in the second or third or fourth series, and he was out playing. I know Chandler Jones played well, but he was out playing. He was playing like Chandler Jones in that game. In that game, he was dominating. You put him on the edge, and he dominates. I don't know why they didn't do that. At the beginning of the year, you saw him piling up all those sacks the last 3 or 4 weeks of the year, and it just doesn't make any sense. I think you can pay, instead of $20 million to Chandler Jones, you can find a $10 million edge rusher to help him out on the other side and just help him, because it's frustrating to where, you know, they're third and longs on defense. The Seahawks are still staying on the field, and it's baffling to me. And I feel right now, John, that the NFL is not testing players for COVID during the playoffs, because to me, that's why you're not seeing nobody testing positive or anything like that. I think when the regular season is different, but when the playoffs start, I think they've been told, hey, we're not going to be tested. We don't want any of these stars to test positive and miss playoff games, and that's why we're not testing right now.
Yeah, and I think it's a mistake. I agree with you. I think it's a bad thing. I think they're putting players at risk, and you know, because again, you know, it's like, and now, I mean, they're even doing it. They're not even testing unvaccinated players.
Wow.
Are you kidding me?
It's getting crazy, man. It's getting wild. I had a feeling something was going on, man, because this is just baffling to me.
Yeah, because I mean, do you know how many guys ended up having positive tests during the season from August 1st? 961.
Yes. Yes, yes, indeed. Yeah, this is crazy. Now there's just zero, there's none. It's baffling. And I think that with the 208.5 million, the salary cap, I think it's going to go up the following next year to 215.7 million, I think.
No, 208.5 next year.
Yeah, but then the following next year, I think it's 215.7.
Yeah, it's not going to go up as much, no doubt.
Yeah, it's going to be something like that. But people are saying that Russell Wilson, he's going to take up too much of the salary. Come on, man. John, like I tell everybody, the guy that was doing the Jaguars-Colts last playoff game on national radio is the type of quarterback you're going to get, and that was Kelly Stauffer. He was doing that game. He was doing the color on the radio. And that's the kind of quarterback you're going to get. You get rid of Russell Wilson. Yes, he made mistakes. Yes, we didn't win the close games this past year. But still, yeah, I'll put my money on Russell Wilson more than some kind of, game manager or, a quarterback just throwing to the mix, because Russell Wilson's a franchise first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback. And you're going to miss him once he leaves here and say, oh, we should have kept him. I shouldn't have bashed him on the radio. We need to keep him here in Seattle. Let's run it back, John. Let's run it back this year and next year with Russell Wilson and see what happens after that. If he wants to be a Vince Evans and a type of journeyman quarterback after that, I hope not, but hopefully he just stays here for the rest of his career.
Yeah, and think about this. In the last, 20 years, if not longer, when was the last time that a team got rid of a franchise Hall of Fame type quarterback? Okay, I mean, you can look at Peyton Manning with Indianapolis, but that was a year where Peyton gets hurt the year before. They lose all the games. They get Andrew Luck in the draft, and so then they let Peyton go. Then, that was one. And then the other one was when, the Green Bay Packers, and all of a sudden, here's Aaron Rodgers falling to the Packers. And after a couple of years, they got rid of Brett Favre, and that's it. Nobody else.
Joe,
And so
Joe Montana. Joe Montana went to the Chiefs because they had Steve Young.
Right. And so it's like, yeah, if you have one, then you can make a move like that. But then you don't have one. I mean, you want to go through the years and go through, you know, all the quarterbacks, the Flynns and stuff like that to get.
But yeah, John Freeses, the Stan Gelbaugh, you want that?
No.
I just said Kelly Stoffers is a better analyst, a color commentator, than he was a quarterback. He's really good on the radio.
Yeah, he is.
But he was horrible as a quarterback here for the Seattle Seahawks. You just don't want that. Let's run it back, like you said. It was close games. We lost it. We normally win this year. And it was the throws of Russell Wilson, a lot of bad throws and a lot of bad play from him that helped us lose some of those close games. But still, the injuries also took part when it came to Russell Wilson, our franchise quarterback. Those things will happen. It's a game of football, so let's run it back next year against the NFC South and the AFC West.
Yeah, and again, they'll have the fourth place schedule, so that makes it even easier. Hey, Dre, thank you as always for the call.
Hey, always a pleasure, John. Thank you.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Coming up next, Sean Salisbury.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
It is our absolute pleasure to talk to Sean Salisbury. Sean, great to be with you. And I'll tell you what I missed this year. I missed talking to you on your Friday show. What happened?
Yeah. Well, with all the baseball and all this, John, you can count on the fact that once the off season and this, matter of fact, I'll have you on next week because we finally, with the schedule, and you're my regular. You kidding me? And then once we get into the draft stuff and roll in, we'll roll in every Friday again. We didn't forget about you. You know how that schedule changed and with baseball and COVID, but I miss it too. I miss our regular talks, and you can count on we'll be right back at it. Matter of fact, why don't we just plan on next week before championship week? We'll get back into it.
Okay, that'll be fantastic. Yeah, because I really missed
it.
And all of a sudden, it's like I hadn't heard from you, and it's like, what's going on?
My go-to guy. You know how it is on Morning Drive Radio with baseball, and you got scheduled guests that when advertising gets stuck, you got to do what you got to do, brother. But you're right back at it. We miss you, too.
That's great. So now, am I correct in saying that, you may not be as harsh on this, that the Texans are the worst-run franchise in sports?
Oh, I don't think there's – I think there's some that are on the Mount Rushmore of it. Johnny, you know, in all sports, there's one we can point to, in the past, the Knicks, they seem to be getting better. The Giants and Jets have had their problems. We know the Browns in the past, but I think it's they're the biggest face on Mount Rushmore, the Texans. I don't think there's any question that they are. I know they're trying to fix it with Nick, but the dysfunction runs far and deep. There is no question right now. You'd be hard-pressed to find a worse-run elementary school organization. Matter of fact, they'd run it far better because they're more focused. So, yes, it is the worst run in football for sure and, quite frankly, is probably in sports right now.
Yeah, and, is it possible, because I know that they almost did this last year, could they hire Josh McCown as the head coach?
Johnny, after what you saw last year, we all love David Culley as a human, and he's a good assistant coach.
Yeah.
But listen, when you've been a 30-year assistant, and he's really respected by people and in the building, and you've never been interviewed for a coordinator job or a head coaching job, there's a reason. Some guys are just really good at being that. I want David Culley in the building, but David Culley wasn't. He was in over his head as a head coach. That's not mean. It's just a fact. So, and there's no reason. And they said, they want to go where they get somebody for the long haul and somebody that can turn the franchise around that they can ride with. And I understand that they may want to go younger. And I love Josh, and I know you do. Respect galore. But if we're going to turn this around now, I got a great idea. Bring Josh in, let him learn, and do what the McVays do with O'Connell and what they did with Zach Taylor and learning all these guys and let him do it. Because I think Josh in the future is going to be a really good head coach because he's well-respected and he's not a yeller and screamer, although that works for some. People love him, but it's not time yet. It's not time yet. What it would tell me, John, if they do this, that they just want control over the coach. They want a guy who's going to abide by everything they do instead of somebody like Brian Flores who may disrupt the apple cart a little bit, but you're going to win. I hold Josh in the highest regard. He's Josh played a long time and he's a friend, but it's not time for that yet. It could be time for that somewhere else right here, right now with what this franchise needs. Bring Josh into the building, but not as a head coach.
Yeah. But I tell you what, and here's the thing that I found really insulting.
But it could, John. Dan, I don't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah.
It could, knowing this organization. they could pull something crazy on us, and you know as well as I do, it wouldn't shock you.
Well, and then on top of it, on like in the David Culley thing, I mean, does Nick Caserio think we're all stupid? You know, because he came out with the comment, you know, it's like, why did they fire Nick, you know, why did they fire David Culley? And he said, well, you know, we couldn't agree on the long-term future and what direction we're going long-term. There was no long-term for David Culley. I mean, it was going to be year two if he stayed, and that's it. He was gone after that.
Yes.
So how are we supposed to believe long-term on a two-year coach that was going to be entering a second year?
That's called peeing in our face and telling us it's raining, Johnny. You know that.
Yeah.
This is not – David Culley was hired to be a bridge of a guy who's that is happy in the building, that could keep – you know, he's going to turn it over to Lovie Smith and to Tim Kelly at the time, let him do it. And he was going to make sure there was peace in the building, and Nick Caserio and that group and Easterby were going to run it. When he was hired, listen, John, you and I knew him because we've been in the business at David Culley, been an assistant with John and Andy and knew that. But not a 94% of America that loves football had no idea. When he was hired here, people, who they had no idea.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Some guys could still be coaches. But anybody who knew, he was hired for this year and maybe a second year, and that was it until they bridged into somebody where they started to turn around, got the assets for Watson, did everything they went, and started to build it. And then it got to the point where they realized there's a ceiling. You're not getting any better next year, and the coach couldn't elevate them. As a head coach, so they had to do it. Now this is an important hire because Nick Caserio will be judged by this and this draft even more so. Yeah, it's one of those where I understand he's protecting the coach and the rest of it. I get it. But there wasn't a soul on the planet. Even when they gave him a vote of confidence, said, yeah, we're going to bring him back, you knew damn well they weren't if they wanted to head in the right direction. They were always looking for the girl that walks into the dance when you're in high school and says, "Ooh, I want to dance with her," not the one I'm dancing with. That's what they were always looking for, and we'll see if they go get it. No disrespect to David Culley, just a fact.
Yeah, no doubt. I thought it was interesting. I mean, you brought up Brian Flores, and you know, my understanding, the reason they let him go in Miami, he couldn't get along with anybody. And so now, I mean, you bring up the idea that you know, Flores is not going to be a fit with Houston. And again, go over why again.
Why they just say that again?
Brian Flores,
the last part. Oh yeah, why they wouldn't bring
would
him
not.
In or would?
Would not.
Oh, okay. Then that would be the only reason, John, is that with the thing, because Flores wins, they know about his background from New England, and this kind of caught people by surprise. You know, you win, you're from 1-7. I think it came down to the quarterback and the difference in opinion for that. He wanted Watson, apparently Greer and Stephen Ross didn't, but it gets to, and that's what's going to prevent if he doesn't come here or somewhere else, that if somebody says, well, what if they have great success when Brian's here and he wants more power? Because, you know, he does it the New England way. It's tight.
Yeah.
It's compact. We're going to do it this way or the highway. And when you disagree, some people can't handle that type of firmness or, you know, power, a power struggle in the building, and some can. So that's why he was out of Miami. And if the New England Patriots, Houston Texans did not hire him, it's simply because they're familiar with him. It simply comes down to the concern over will he eventually want more power, or that he thinks there's a better job and that he's not going to get Watson here, which he's not, that he goes somewhere else. So that would be the one reason, because they want to control the situation here, and Brian's a very strong personality, and I'm not sure a lot of people in this building can handle it. So I right now, John, after I heard some stuff yesterday from an insider about where he is in this interview process, I'm not sure Brian Flores is going to be their first choice now. Keep an eye on the defensive coordinator in Philadelphia is a strong possibility.
Yeah, I saw where today or yesterday he came in for a second interview. Gannon.
Yeah, you're talking about it. Yeah,
Jonathan Gannon.
And he is like, he comes from, you know, he and Brandon Staley from the same part of the country, grew up buddies, similar, young, in his 30s, aggressive, and interviews well, and people hold him in high regard, young but could grow into the position. I don't think they want to hire, you know, somebody that was David Culley's age. Not that I care about age. Good coaches are of all ages, but I think they want somebody they can grow with. And if you bring Gannon in, and you, John, know this, when you're new with your first head coaching job, you'll just coach and you'll appeal to what they want to do in the front office without disrupting it, right? You're gonna coach them up and try to prove you're a great coach. So, and not that he's not worthy of it. So he seems to be that they're hot on his trail right now, it seems.
Uh-huh.
And I think right now, if they were making the choice, I'm not sure that Brian Flores would be ahead of him. I thought Flores would be a great candidate, but sometimes people just don't want disruption or too much strength in the building, and Gannon may provide it down the road, but I think he'd come in with a little less, I want to be involved in personnel and who my quarterback is and the rest of it. I think he'd let Nick handle that a little more.
Right, and I'm glad Nick finally addressed the Deshaun Watson and said that it's likely he's going to be traded. Now, the question is, how can a trade work out with all the legal problems Deshaun Watson has?
Yeah, well, it's going to eventually, John. It's going to the talk. I mean, you know, obviously, unless there's major criminal charges filed, yeah. You know, there's been talk in this town, and this is above my pay grade when it comes to the legal. Both sides deserve to be heard. The women in this, and Deshaun Watson's side. There's talk that Deshaun may, you know, the clear in the name, but he doesn't want to settle because it makes it that perception of guilt. Or that maybe there's two or three that want their story heard without settling. Whatever that is above my pay grade, I know this, that I think his value did go up this off during this season because of the lack of draft capital in this as far as first-round picks and also, you know, some of these desperate teams out there. So they're going to get what they want from him eventually, but I'm not sure how many. Now Miami's out of it now, so we know that with Flores gone. So they're out. So who is it? Carolina? Does Denver jump into it? Do the New York Giants? But he's going to have to change his stronghold on the no-trade clause. But whenever it is, and it eventually get cleared, he will play football again.
Right.
And when that's cleared, whether it's in March or April, whenever that is, he will get traded, and they will get 5, 6, 7 assets for him, John, and that'll be probably 3 first-round picks. So I don't know where how it's going to get cleared or when, but when it does, Deshaun Watson instantly becomes the hottest, if it's not Aaron Rodgers, the most sought after free agent, when I say free agent, guy you can go get in a trade in the entire NFL because he's one of the 5 or 6 best players at his position on the field.
Right. Could you see Aaron Rodgers staying in Green Bay?
I could.
Yeah, I could too.
I really could. John, in truth, I understand the like, for instance, the 49ers, mm-hmm. you know, him be playing up there and growing up. I understand that. Man, that looks pretty cool. Go to the 49ers with all those great players. Imagine San Francisco and Kyle with Aaron Rodgers. Even though Jimmy's been solid, he ain't Aaron Rodgers and neither is Trey Lance. What that would look like. I understand the, oh my gosh, would that be, or Sean Payton with Aaron Rodgers. I get the allure of other places or Pittsburgh, but in truth, John, all these years he's been there, the legacy he's built, he's on a really good team.
Yeah.
I'm trying to convince that why would you, and now Aaron's going to make this decision, but I'm not so sure Green Bay's not the best place for him. He's got great receiver. He's got a couple running backs, a coach that knows how to win. But I can see the allure, like Tom Brady, of like, I want to just try something else somewhere else. I get it. I'm kind of curious to see how this season ends for them and then where they go. If they lose, does he move on? Or is it if they win, he's finally set a foundation. Now I can go away and go find where I want to be. But I can see a scenario where he comes back to Green Bay. Hell, when you've been there that long, it's hard to change. But I can also see a scenario that he's intrigued with some coach or some situation and says, I'm going to go win with that roster. Who wouldn't want Aaron Rodgers for 2 or 3 more years?
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, he'd be a great fit in Denver. He'd be a great fit anywhere
he
wants to go. Because, again, I think that by Monday, because I know that the Broncos can get their 10th candidate interviewed by Sunday night, that they're ready to make a hire, and I think it's going to be Dan Quinn.
I wouldn't doubt it. John, think about the narrative of Quinn 18 months ago. Think about this. And here's a guy who was great in Seattle, as you know, as a defensive coach, and then goes to Atlanta. And while they don't win it, and the unfortunate 28-3, well-documented, but his team was in the Super Bowl, so he did impact them. Then he goes, and then the people are like, oh, what's going on? High demand as a defensive coordinator. Look what he's done in Dallas. And now it's like Flores, and he's like the hottest guy out there right now. Mm-hmm. It's like we got 5 teams want to interview him. I think it'd be great because of the discipline, the respect. And, John, you know this. The first time around may not always be as good.
Yeah.
As the second, sometimes you learn. Bella, we can go through a long list of guys who've been better the next time around. So with that and the changing of ownership and the possibility of some of these great owners, and with that roster, now you just got to go find you a quarterback. And if you do that, if he wants the gig, be crazy not to go get it. The question is, and I don't think Jerry's going to do this, and I asked this question. Somebody asked me about Dallas. John, you can answer this. If you love Mike McCarthy, you keep him. But
right.
If you're Jerry Jones and they say, do you like him or love him? Well, I like him. Well, if you don't love him, go keep the guy you love, whether it's one of the 2 coordinators, or go get somebody you love. If you love Mike McCarthy, you keep him no matter what any of us say. I've always said that. Don't tell me the coach you like. If Denver loves Dan Quinn or somebody else, make him an offer he can't refuse and don't let him out of the building. Right, John? I mean,
agreed.
Make it so it's difficult for him to leave. And this would be a great hire because I think Dan has learned a great deal after his first time around. And his first time around wasn't a failure. He coached Atlanta pretty damn good and did had a great impact here. So you could do a lot worse than hiring Dan Quinn right now at any place.
So what do you like about the divisional playoff round?
Oh, my gosh.
It's awesome.
Think about this. If you were choosing quarterbacks, like Matt Stafford would be your sixth guy out of the eight teams, right?
Wow.
I mean, Burrow's on fire. Think about it. Think about it, John. We got, you got Stafford and Rodgers and Brady and Josh Allen and Mahomes and Burrow. I mean, it's crazy. So if you finish in sixth out of the eight, and you know, with Jimmy and Tannehill down low, and both those guys win, one's on the number one seed, one's on a real hot team in San Francisco. The other six quarterbacks, you could put one at three, one at six, one at one. It's crazy. So I'm excited about that, but I'm also excited about who stays close to game plans. Will the 49ers get to their 35 attempts? Can that front seven of the 49ers disrupt Rodgers? If you decide to put an eighth guy down, how are you going to cover on the perimeter? In Tampa, see, John, I want to see if the Rams are more cosmetic than substance. I think there's a chance they could go in there if they get physically handled early in the game that this could be a 10-point blowout.
Yeah.
I think the San Francisco Green Bay game, when it gets down to it, I'll always take the better quarterback, but I like a close one there in the AFC. I think Cincinnati's going into Tennessee and winning as long as Derrick Henry doesn't go 31, 32 carries for $1.97. I think that Cincinnati's explosive offense could make Tennessee chase, which I'm interested in, and I have a lot of respect for the Titans front seven, and they're real good, so they may make Joe Burrow have to throw a lot. And then in Kansas City, I love the way Buffalo's playing, John. I do. Josh Allen, and their defense is really, really good. I'm thinking upsets. I think both road teams in the AFC win, and I think both home teams in the NFC win, and we're going to get a Brady-Rodgers rematch, and Buffalo's finally going to get back to an AFC championship game at home with Cincinnati coming to town next week.
Wow, can you imagine that? Are you stunned by Cincinnati this year?
Stunned, no, but a surprise that it happened this fast, John. Think about when we started the season. Zach Taylor was on the hot seat. Burrow coming off the injury, and well, what are they going to do? And then all of a sudden they get rolling, and they were the one seed at one point in the first six or seven games. Like, man. Eight games, they're playing good football. They went through a lull. I think it's surprising the way. I mean, when you find that guy at quarterback, you have him in Seattle. The teams that find him, and you just know. Look at the impact, John. You've been covering Cincinnati for years, not only when you were in Pittsburgh, but in doing it at ESPN and now the NFL. Think about the impact one cat, meaning Joe Burrow, had when he walked in and the culture changed. Right, that everybody just, this guy believes it. I think Joe Burrow actually believes that they're going to be like a dynasty and dominate the next 10 to 12 years. I think in his mind, it's not to say, I think he believes that. And it shows, look at the way Chase is and the way they're playing. Now, they're going to have to be physical in this game, as we well know. But shocked, no. But surprised right now, because if you ask me, it'd be hard not. I know Baltimore's good, but, firing Wink Martindale, it'd be hard not to say that going in the next year that your favorite team in the AFC North isn't Cincinnati, regardless of what happens. They've got big-time playmakers. As long as they continue to build on the defense, this is going to be hell to pay over the next 10 years. And, John, they've never in their – I found this out yesterday or 2 days ago. They've never in their franchise history won a road playoff game ever.
Yeah.
The Bengals, ever.
Yeah.
Ever. So I'm anxious to see how this turns out. But, surprised that it turned around so quickly. But I love their resilience, and I think their quarterback's a grown man, man. I think Burrow's phenomenal.
No doubt. Hey, Sean, always great talking to you because it's been such a long time, and I'm looking forward to being on your show Friday.
Friday at 9:30 Central Time, brother. I'll get in touch with you, and we'll talk this week. I can't wait, and I'm always honored to be on with you. You're the man.
Okay, sounds good. Sean Salisbury, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
Our thanks to Matt Nelson for producing the show. Our thanks to Matt Nelson for running the show. Joining us right now, and of course after this, we'll have Hot Stove League coming up. And let's go to Commando Dave. David, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic, and it's great to be back on the John Clayton Show. John Clayton heading into divisional weekend, the final four games to get down to the final four teams. Professor, shout out to Matt BMC Nelson for getting me on the airwaves of 710 Cairo, home of the Vacation and Seahawks and the Lockout Mariners, so I can bring it to the show. And right quick, John Clayton, in defense of my namesake, David and Edmonds, don't answer fantasy football questions, and you probably won't get fantasy draft calls.
Okay. Got it.
And to his credit, at least David is asking about a real draft. Look, John Clayton, last week I said Super Wild Card Weekend was just actually Wild Card Weekend plus one. But as it turned out, it was Wild Card Weekend plus four. Four teams that had no business being in the playoffs.
Uh-huh.
The Bills just ran fast breaks up the field against the Patriots like Magic Johnson was playing quarterback. The Eagles landed on the Buccaneers ship and got their wings chopped, had to walk the plank back to Philly, but good thing there were no reports of grown men crying, leaving Buckley's in Belltown. I don't know if you know it, John Clayton, but during Eagles games, Buckley's in Belltown, just a giant nest. The Chiefs got doubled up by the Steelers, like the Pittsburgh team had a quarterback with 1 foot out the door, and the Rams proved the Cardinals had no business being in the playoffs, should have been sitting at home before L.A. sent them home. As far as the two entertaining games, John Clayton, it was tough to see the Raiders go down the way they did with mistake after mistake, along with what Raider Jim alluded to. You can only get into the red zone so many times until it turns into the dead zone. And there was nothing better than the 49ers bouncing the Cowboys out of the playoffs in Dallas, and Jerry Jones' big D weathering into a cold, shrunken one. Look, moving to this weekend, John Clayton, I've been a Bootsy Collins fan since I can remember, so I'm pulling for his favorite team, the Cincinnati Bengals over the Tennessee Tuxedo Titans. And the 49ers and Packers have met many times in the playoffs over the years, and this is going to be one of the biggest ones with Jimmy Nine Fingers G versus Aaron the Immunized One. I'm playing the any given Saturday card and picking the 49ers. And the game of the weekend to me, John Clayton, is the Rams and the Buccaneers. Last week, or should say last year, the Bucs became the first team in the NFL history to play Super Bowl in their own stadium, and the Rams are in position to become the second. The problem is, of course, Tampa Bay is trying to repeat as Super Bowl champs, and Tom Brady's the last guy to quarterback a team to back-to-backs. Nonetheless, the Super Bowl halftime show trailer I saw this week has me picking the Rams. And then to cap it off this weekend, John Clayton, the cherry on top of a game, Buffalo Bills in Kansas City versus the Chiefs. Can the Chiefs get to a third straight Super Bowl and avenge last year's loss? Can the Bills get to their first Super Bowl since dropping four in a row? And those questions can only be answered in the AFC title game. Who are you taking again this weekend, John Clayton?
I'm leaning toward Tennessee, and I might be wrong on that one. Certainly, I think Tampa Bay should win. Green Bay should win reasonably easy. And then I still lean toward Kansas City. But, I mean, with the exception of maybe the Green Bay game, I think all these games are going to be close, exciting. And by the way, to wrap things up, why did James Brown hire Bootsy Collins?
Well, because he was probably the best bass player around.
No, here, no, the reason
he was 14 years old. Huh?
Here's the reason is that Bootsy was mad, at the at the horny horns, right? And what was going on is that he wanted to get more funk, and Bootsy and his brother, who's a drummer, offered more funk, and that's why Bootsy ended up getting hired. And then his brother was playing, the drums and all that stuff. And that's why Bootsy Collins was there, because JB wanted more funk.
That's good, Professor. That's good. My best of Mrs. Clayton. Talk to you, John Clayton.
All right, thank you. And, of course, we'll be back next Saturday from 8 to 11. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.